lot of factors still weighing in, including the shift that we've seen within the wheat complex. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and joining us, Mike Zuzulo, Mike with Global Commodity Analytics. And let's talk about what's going on in this wheat, because they kind of, in the WASDE you report, were the ones that were kind of off by themselves when we compared everything else. Do you see this continuing to be a frustration move for them going forward, or are we going to see a bit of a turnaround possibly come back their way?
You know, I think we should be able to see a turnaround, Susan, because of the world numbers. And I think one thing you can say at this stage, as we get ready for midweek trade, and we also get ready for the May contracts to go off the board on Wednesday, is that the trade in the post-WASDE environment, except for the later part of Tuesday's price action when the wheat did recover and find some short covering, it's been about the U.S. ending stocks numbers, much more so than about the world ending stocks numbers. And I think that's the glaring change in the price action, or the glaring theme in the price action, because if you look at the world ending stocks and stocks to use ratios for corn, we actually made a new low in 25-26, the lowest since 2012 in our drought year. And that's with big acres, that's with the 181 yield, and that's with the 4 million metric ton increase that USDA slapped on Brazil's production, taking them up to 130 million metric tons for corn production that they're getting ready to harvest. Even with all that, we saw fresh new lows in stocks to use ratios for corn. And in what looks to me to be a very tricky Northern Hemisphere weather year, whether you're looking at China, Ukraine, or the Western Corn Belt of the United States. I would say the other thing that I've noticed is the trade with the agreement and the thaw between the U.S. and China. We've seen a very strong element of unwinding long corn, short bean positions over the course of almost 30 days. I would think that too would be about ready to be exhausted at this stage of the game.
So do you think the optimism of workings with China have already taken a little bit of a back burner, as we know it's going to take time? I mean, we've got 90 days to work through this, knowing that there's other countries waiting in the wings that want to move forward?
I have to think so, because I'm still going to be upwards of around a 500 million bushel carryover for new crop beans, Susan, instead of USDA's 295 that they gave us on the 25-26 for the WASDE report. And I say that because we do have a very strong South American supply coming on. It's a cheaper supply. And even China has said they're trying to work away from using so much meal in their rations. And that means they're going to have lower soybean imports. I think this makes a lot of sense, especially when you take a look at even USDA's world numbers. Even with that 295 million bushel new crop carryover, we're still sitting with a 25-26 soybean ending stock for the world of 124.3 million metric tons, compared to 123.2 for the current marketing year, another brand new modern day record. So I really think we're in a situation where the beans are going to really need to be helped out by the corn and the wheat if November, for instance, wants to try and break through 1075 and get towards that $11 area. And it can happen. And a lot of things have happened in the past, but I think beans going it by themselves for an extended period of time, we've seen the last year and a half, 2 years, it just hasn't worked out that well.
Looking at the pressure that's on within this market trade as well, I mean, you look at the way we settled or are settling today, we saw a bit of a turnaround happen in the soybeans. Corn ended up on the negative, and even on the livestock side, the ebb and flow was such a strong negative for a big chunk of today. What is your thoughts? Is it just a Tuesday trade action and tomorrow's a whole new day?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how I would look at it. And I do think that this is where it dovetails into the idea that you get to midweek and the May futures, which expire Wednesday. If you see the July grain futures, especially wheat and corn, find some support. And this is where the July corn against the December corn is exceptionally important to me, because we took the July discount to the December for the first time since, I think, October or November of last year. So the first time in about 8 or 9 months. We need to keep that July premium to the December. One would think that with the 1.8 billion bushel carryover on a 181 yield and the tightest world stocks to use ratio since 2012, July would continue to be premium to the December. But I think that's one of the key reasons why this week, I think, could shape up to be so important, that if the wheat, which has gone down to near five-year lows, has been pressuring corn so dramatically in the front end, if the wheat lets off that, then the corn maybe will have a chance to see a lot better potential for some short covering.
Cattle side, are we going to see the higher cash that everybody seems to have thought yesterday we might see this week?
I think we will, because I think the packers painted themselves into a corner, given the USDA report, given the fact that we have that Mexico border closed to feeder imports coming into this country, and also given the fact that we're back up to where we were in early April in the stock market, especially the S&P 500, Susan. And so I think there's enough reasons to think that the packer is going to need to bid up here to keep his numbers up, because he's been trying to play it way too close to the vest, given the fundamentals that we have here going into midweek trade. I still look for the feeders to make the ultimate high before the fat cattle by a couple weeks' time, potentially, just kind of like we did back in 2014.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much. Mike Zuzulo joining us today, giving us a breakdown to how we see this Tuesday trade action go. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's a look to those markets on a Tuesday, the market wrap-up. I'm Susan Littlefield, and this is the American Ag Network.